Gilchrist moves over behind Kemp. He goes back to pass again. Runs out to the right.
Still on his feet. Now throws. It's good to Lofton. At the 10. At the 5. Touchdown! Touchdown!
The John Murphy Show is on the air.
Hear all the action, all the excitement of Buffalo Bills football right here on
The John Murphy Show.
The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO, supplying natural gas and electricity to thousands of homes and businesses across western New York.
This place is pandemonium!
Picked off by Leotis McKelvin at the 35-yard line. Leotis, my man!
This is The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to the podcast, the John Murphy Show podcast for Wednesday night, January 15th. Thanks for tuning in. Back live on the radio tomorrow and Friday night to wrap up the week, but another podcast tonight because hockey going on here in Western New York. Thanks for tuning in. Quiet day here at One Bills Drive, but the rest of the league is buzzing with a little bit of activity, and we're going to take a look back into Bills history today. Where were you 20 years ago today? Do you recall? Where were you 20 years ago? I know where I was, and many Bills fans will remember where they were when you think about it. January 15th, 1994. You may have been right here in Orchard Park. 61,923 were in attendance to watch the Buffalo Bills and the Los Angeles Raiders at Rich Stadium then in the AFC Divisional Round playoff game. The Bills won that game 29-23, a pretty good game. What really made it memorable 20 years ago today, it was the coldest day in Buffalo Bills history. Gene Warner wrote about it today, a great story in the Buffalo News. The temperature was zero that day. The wind chill, minus 32. Coldest game in Buffalo Bills history 20 years ago today. We're going to relive that day during the course of tonight's podcast. We'll hear some of the radio highlights coming up in a little bit. We're going to talk with Steve Tasker, who made a big play, maybe the biggest play in that game, a 67-yard kickoff return that did not go for a touchdown. He was ran down by, I think at the time, one of the fastest men on the planet, Willie Gault, but stopped at the one-yard line. Steve Tasker will join us on the podcast tonight to talk about his memories of that ice-cold day 20 years ago today and talk about the playoffs. Steve has been busy with CBS Sports. You may have seen him on the CBS Sports pregame show and the AFC game this past Sunday when he was in Carolina covering the NFC game. This Sunday, he'll be covering the NFC Championship game, the Niners and Seattle, from Seattle for the CBS Sports Network. Steve Tasker is going to join us in just a few minutes here on the John Murphy Show, the podcast, John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. We do want to start, though, with the rundown of the daily news, the Dunn Tire, Kumho Tire daily rundown. Kumho Tire is the official tire of the Buffalo Bills, and they're giving Dunn Tire customers an exclusive offer. You can get a $50 instant rebate plus a free Bills cap with the purchase of four Kumho brand tires. Go to DunnTire.com for details. Kumho Tires, let's go. Quiet here at One Bills Drive. The player's gone, obviously. The coaching staff in working in the coaching suite upstairs. Head coach Doug Marrone and the personnel folks are getting set to go to the Senior Bowl. We'll be there as well next week, broadcasting from the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. We've got live radio on Monday, Wednesday next week. Podcast from Mobile on Tuesday and Thursday. We'll be talking to Doug Marrone. We'll be talking to Doug Whaley down there in Mobile, getting set for the Senior Bowl with about 110 of the top prospects, the top senior prospects in this year's draft on display for the scouts and for the head coaches and all the other NFL folks will be there as well. And that's what the preparation is for here today here at One Bills Drive. Around the league, some coaching news. The Minnesota Vikings are going to hire Mike Zimmer as their next head coach, according to ESPN. Zimmer spent the last 5 years as the Bengals defensive coordinator in negotiations to finish off a deal, according to league sources. He had two interviews with the Vikings. The second one yesterday, he met with Vikings owner Ziggy Wolf. He got involved just yesterday. So the Minnesota Vikings ready to go with Mike Zimmer as their next head coach, leaving the Cleveland Browns the only team without a head coach right now. Jimmy Haslam, the owner of the Browns, says patience. He sent a letter to Brown season ticket holders saying the team is going to continue to be patient in their search for a head coach. Haslam's letter said, quote, "We understood from the beginning that if we wanted to speak to all of the coaches on our list, we may need to wait until they've completed their participation in the playoffs." Haslam continued, "We are prepared to wait as long as necessary in this important decision." The Browns want to talk with Denver offensive coordinator Adam Gase, who wanted to wait until the Broncos season ended. That could happen Sunday or maybe after the Super Bowl. Cleveland trying to replace Rob Chudzinski, who was fired after the Browns went 4-12 in his one season there. The Dolphins have found an offensive coordinator. The Miami Dolphins today naming 41-year-old Bill Lazor as their offensive coordinator. He spent this past season as the Philadelphia Eagles quarterbacks coach. Lazor replaces Mike Sherman, who was fired after two seasons. Lazor gets credit for working with Eagles quarterback Nick Foles, who started the season as a backup and then led the Eagles to the NFC East title. He is the new offensive coordinator of the Dolphins, Bill Lazor. And Tom Brady missed practice today for the Patriots as the Wednesday practice week began for the combatants in the playoff games, the championship games. New England quarterback Brady missing the practice with what one source calls a minor injury. The ESPN reports Brady is, quote, good and will be ready to play against Denver on Sunday. Last week, Brady said he was fighting a cold, but he did not miss practice and did not miss a snap in the Patriots divisional playoff win over the Indianapolis Colts. Long snapper Danny Aiken also missing from practice with an illness today, Wednesday, for the Patriots. Brady's scheduled news conference was canceled, but he is expected to resume practicing and is expected to play against Denver. And the officiating assignments have been settled for the Super Bowl. Terry McCauley will be the referee at the Super Bowl, the third time he's worked the championship game on his crew, on his seven-man crew for the February 2nd game. His former Bills defensive back Steve Freeman. You remember Steve Freeman, who played safety for the Bills in the 1980s. And Steve Freeman gets an assignment, his first assignment, as the back judge for the Super Bowl. For Terry McCauley, as we said, his third Super Bowl. He worked the one in 2005, New England's win over Philadelphia, and in 2009 when Pittsburgh beat Arizona. That's the news of the day, the rundown of the day's events, brought to you by Dunn Tire and Kumho Tires. Coming up, we're going to run down the events from 20 years ago when the Bills played the coldest game in franchise history, a victory, a playoff victory against the Los Angeles Raiders. We're also going to talk with Steve Tasker, who was in a principal in that game, played a major role in that game. And Steve Tasker also will talk to us about the NFC playoffs that he has been covering for CBS. That's coming up next. It is the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio. Well, winter is here, and NOCO has what you need to keep you and your family warm all winter long. Whether you're in the market for a new heating equipment or if you're looking to fix up what you already have, NOCO is the place to go. Right now, NOCO's offering $200 off when you buy a new heating system. Just mention the promo code Murphy. Yep, $200 off on a new heating system. NOCO also offers around-the-clock heating maintenance and repair, regardless of the brand of your furnace or the company who installed it. Call NOCO at 1-800-662-6776 or visit noco.com/heating to start heating today.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
With the wind at his back, he sails it on the ground, and it's taken by Tasker at the 30, run to the 35, 40, 15, the 10, the 5, knocked out of bounds at the one-yard line in a spectacular play.
That was 20 years ago today. The Buffalo Bills playoff game, the division round playoff game against the Raiders at Ralph Wilson Stadium. What's memorable about that game? Coldest game ever in Buffalo Bills history. On the line with us, the guy who returned that kickoff back, Steve Tasker, also from CBS Sports. And Steve is on the line with us. Steve, do you remember that day, that kickoff return in particular?
Yeah, I remember it. It was one of those days when it was clear and sunny. It was beautiful if you just looked at it, but once you stepped outside, it was really cold. I got to tell you, it was really cold.
There was 0 degrees, the temperature, minus 32, the wind chill. Gene Warner wrote about it today in the Buffalo News, a story about that game 20 years ago, the Bills-Raiders, Los Angeles Raiders divisional playoff game 20 years ago today. Scoreless first quarter. The Raiders get a Jeff Jaeger field goal early in the second quarter, and then your kick return. It was kind of a funny kick to handle, wasn't it?
Yeah, we had played them about 6 weeks before in Orchard Park, and it was wet, and Jeff Jaeger, the kicker for the Raiders, he had a hard plant when he came in, and his left foot would hit really at a sharp angle, and it caused him some problems the first time when they were there, and it caused one of the kicks to skitter down the middle of the field, and actually it went by me, and I wasn't really ready for it, and I didn't get a chance to feel it. This time I thought, well, let's stay ready in case it happens, and sure enough, he kind of line-drived it, and it was knuckling. It didn't really spin at all. It was just, kind of pushing its way down the field without spinning, and it was going to go over my head, and when it knuckled one more time, it dropped right down to my left shoulder, and I took off running.
And there you go. You ran it back all the way down to the 1 yard line, and a couple of plays later, Candy Davis scored the touchdown that put the Bills ahead to stay in that game. What was it like playing in conditions like that, Steve? How cold was it?
It was really cold. We did, you know, even it was crazy because the water and the glasses on the sideline froze solid. It was hard to get a drink, you know, because everything was freezing on the sidelines. And it was neat too because, you know, they brushed the field off and pushed all the snow off next to the wall. You know, everybody in Western New York knows, you know, can picture Ralph Wilson Stadium and around that low wall around the bottom of the stands. Well, they pushed the snow up against it and it looked all white and fluffy and it looked clean. It was really good looking snow. You go over there to step on it or you run into it, and you think it's going to be fluffy, and it was hard as rock. It was like a pile of gravel. It was like, and so everything froze solid. It was unbelievable.
The field itself, it was different than 20 years ago, wasn't it? Not just the turf here at Ralph Wilson Stadium, then Rich Stadium, but they didn't have the kind of fields they have now. That carpet that they had on the field here in Orchard Park back then, that thing was hard as a rock on days like that, wasn't it?
Yeah, everything was frozen solid, and they kind of brushed it off, you know, and everything that they left behind kind of got this, you know, it was just frozen, and you know, everybody was covered from their head to their toe. Nobody had bare arms in that game, and you know, you fall on it, you hit, and everybody, you kind of slide around on it. It was really rough. It was rough, and I think most of the guys really had to change a couple of shoes a couple of times to find the ones that would work right for them. And you know, it turned out, I think a lot of guys kind of like the basketball type shoes that they use, but also we had 150 stud cleats that we used to use, the old-time turf shoes, and those seemed to work good too.
Well, we heard your 67-yard kick return that play Ken Davis scored the touchdown. The extra point failed. In fact, there were a lot of failed extra point kicks in that game just because of the elements, I guess, that day, right?
Yeah, I forgot all about that. When I read the article, it kind of came back to me. One got blocked, one doinked off the upright, and the other one just got blown wide, and there were 7 extra points in the game, and they only converted 4 of them, which is unbelievable because those were two. I mean, Haggis was the best kicker I ever worked with. I mean, he was unbelievable. And Steve Christie.
Yeah, Haggis. Okay, and, I got it.
Yeah, and Jeff Jaeger kicked for the Raiders forever. He was money. So, you know, have those guys come in there and just barely get over 50% is pretty amazing, particularly since it was just chip shot field goal. I mean, it was, you know, extra points. It wasn't even like 49 yarders.
Did Christie actually eat Haggis?
No, but he's Scottish, you know.
Right,
so what are you
going
to do?
No, nobody wants to eat that. Steve Tasker on the line with us, the former Bills special teamer, talking about that day 20 years ago when the Bills beat the Raiders in a divisional playoff game. They beat them 29-23 en route to, the very next week you were back home again against Kansas City with Joe Montana. That was a memorable game too, Steve, on your way to the 4th consecutive Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, it ended up being Joe's last game ever.
Yeah.
And he got carted off. He took a shot from Bruce, or a couple of shots, and finally the last one, you know, did him in, and he never took the field again. The last time he ever played was in Rich Stadium in a championship game, and the things he did with that Chiefs team after spending so many years in San Francisco and to get that Chiefs team, I mean, he was the difference too. I mean, the Chiefs, yeah, pretty good under Marty Schottenheimer, and Joe shows up and they're on the doorstep of the Super Bowl immediately. It was a testament to how good a player he was.
Steve Tasker with us talking about that day 20 years ago, but a lot to talk about recently, Steve, and you've been busy the last week or two with CBS Sports, in particular the CBS Sports Network. Last week, we saw you on the pregame show before the AFC Divisional Playoff game. You had the assignment to cover the game at Bank of America Stadium, the Niners beating Carolina 23-10. What were your impressions of that game at Carolina last Sunday?
Well, you knew it was going to be a really tough battle, and the thing, and you never know it until it's over, but you go back to the beginning of the game, and Carolina had first and goal inside the, you know, goal-to-go situations inside the 1 yard line and could not get in twice. That's pretty amazing, and I think that was obviously the difference in the game. As the game wore on, Carolina could never get back down there again and take advantage of that, and I'll tell you, Ron Rivera, I think he did the right thing. He went for it twice. Got turned away, and once it ended up getting pretty good field position and turned around and got the touchdown, long touchdown to Steve Smith. But, you know, that's the difference. I mean, this San Francisco and Seattle championship game, I think, is going to be a spectacular game, particularly since it's in Seattle. I mean, that is a game with two teams that are very deep, very talented, and both are playing very good right now.
Did you think Kaepernick outplayed Cam Newton last week? Was that part of the difference between those teams last week?
I think a little bit. I think he did. But Cap, you know, I think he had more help from his teammates. He had more weapons, yeah, certainly on the offensive side of the ball. Steve Smith is a good player, great player, one of the few wide receivers that you can think of that it was actually in the conversation for MVP at one point in his career. And so that's how good he was. But that, you know, that's kind of where it stopped for Carolina. It was Cam Newton, Steve Smith, and a bunch of guys. But you look at the Niners, it's Colin Kaepernick, Frank Gore, Vernon Davis, Anquan Boldin, and Michael Crabtree. That's just more bullets in the gun for San Francisco, and I think that's what did it for him.
Boldin seems like a big game type of player, isn't he, at this stage of his career?
It's unbelievable, too. I mean, because when he's on the field, I mean, there's got to be on – if there are the 22 guys on the field and he's one of them, there are probably 10 guys, maybe 12 guys who can outrun him. He's not very fast.
Yeah, yeah.
He's not very fast, but the guy is a phenomenal player, very physical, strong, got a lot of confidence. And, you know, the 50-50 ball is not a 50-50 ball when you throw it to Anquan Boldin, you know. And I think the fact that he switched from Baltimore to San Francisco and has just picked up right where he left off, I think is a testament. The guy's really, really a good player.
How much different – I know you covered the Super Bowl last year and you were down there at the Superdome. How much different, how much better is this San Francisco team than the team that came up just short last year?
I think they're much better offensively. I think Vernon Davis, Michael Crabtree, I think they've really upgraded. Anquan Boldin in and Ted Ginn Jr. out really is a huge upgrade. It gives him a much more versatile weapon with Boldin. Frank Gore still a big force to be reckoned with. And Kaepernick's got that much more experience. Now, the one thing about it is, you know, teams know what Colin Kaepernick can do and what he can't do a lot more than they did last year with only 8 games going into that Super Bowl. But by the same token, he's the atom bomb. He's the thing that ends the war. I mean, that he can do that. You saw him when he turns the corner with the ball in his hand. There's not too many guys that are going to take the angle that are going to run him down.
Yeah.
So that's always that big hammer that can drop. And I think with Crabtree being healthy and in the game, Vernon Davis and Gore and Boldin as an addition, that this team offensively is much better than the team that went to the Super Bowl and lost last year against Baltimore.
Kaepernick does take a pounding, though, Steve, which, you know, may not come up to bite him yet, but someday you would think it's going to come up to bite them, all the hits that he takes.
Yeah, and there's a couple of things to think about that. Certainly there's a season-ending or career-ending injury that does that. You know, I mean, that's what the big fear is, that the guy will lose a season or perhaps end his career because of an injury. You don't ever want to see that happen, but certainly when the guy starts taking hits like that, it could happen. Now, the other fear is this, that he may have a phenomenal career, and, you know, everybody hopes he does. I mean, everybody wants to see a great player play his best. But I think what happens is a quarterback who takes a lot of hits, cumulative hits, I think those guys come to the end of their career in an abrupt fashion. They can be an MVP 1 year and 1.5 seasons later look like they could never play. I think they come to the end of the line very quickly when it happens. You know, like Peyton Manning never took too many hits, and even him with the neck injury, you know, he lost an entire season. He seems to have still be able to do it, and everybody acknowledges he doesn't have an arm left. He's never been able to run, but yet he never was a guy who took very many hits, and he's still playing very well. I think for a guy who takes a lot of hits like Mike Vick, like Ben Roethlisberger, guys who take a lot of hits seem to, when they start to decline, the decline is a lot steeper.
We're on the line with Steve Tasker, the former Bills special teams ace. You can catch him this Sunday live in Seattle on the CBS Sports Network for their top show, that other pregame show. The early morning start, Steve, and people are into that. It seems like in the last couple of years there's no shortage of early morning, Sunday morning pregame shows. The networks all love that.
Well, you know, at the beginning of this season, I was on the sidelines for the first Monday night game of the season between Chip Kelly's Eagles and the Washington Redskins with RG3, and I've never been around a season, not just there in Washington where that game took place, but all over the league, where there was so much anticipation of a season coming. It just seemed like the entire country was in a frenzy over the football season starting. And I think it's a real testament to how good the league is marketed and what they do to make keep it interesting for fans no matter what. But this season, I think, and the pregame shows and the multitude of pregame shows that you see is a testament to that too, that the appetite is just insatiable. And anything that has the NFL shield on it just seems to hit a home run on television in the broadcast industry. And that's why, you know, the networks and the radio stations and the radio networks and cable networks and everything are dedicated so much to it. And I think it's great. It's fun to be able to want something like that and have an appetite for it. And anywhere you go, you can satisfy that appetite.
Yeah. I know you spend most of your time, you know, on CBS covering AFC, but have you been to a game in Seattle this year? I know you've probably been there over the year sometime.
I did a game this year, early in the season. I did week three in Seattle against Jacksonville. I think it was week three.
Yeah. What do they got going on up there? They talk about the tremendous home field advantage they get up there.
Well, there's a couple of things going on. It's a dynamite, big, big city. It is a regional city as well. I mean, it's a two and a half hour flight from San Francisco.
Yeah.
And you think that's the biggest, nearest city. And so it's up there by itself. So it's a regional franchise. Everybody in the region follows the Seahawks. It's right downtown in the middle of a big, big city. And the stadium, for those of you who haven't seen it, it's a work of art. It is one of my favorite stadiums to see and do. I think it's the most interesting looking. It's right downtown, out one end of the horseshoe. They have a big triangle set of stands that is really distinctive, and the skyline is right out the end. It's beautiful, and the fans take great pride. And they did that even when it was the Kingdome out there.
Yeah.
The fans take great pride in affecting the game. So it really is a special place. And I think one of the reasons is because it's so isolated from the rest of the NFL up in the Northwest.
Last thing, Steve, do the Seahawks have too much for the 49ers this Sunday? How do you think this game will play out?
Well, you know, I was thinking about it. The Seahawks remind me a little bit of the Cincinnati Bengals. They are deep, talented everywhere. The only difference between Russell Wilson and Andy Dalton for me is that Russell Wilson does not make the catastrophic mistakes. He doesn't throw multiple interceptions in a game. He stays the course. And one of the problems with the Cincinnati Bengals is the fact that Andy Dalton has not been able to play consistently or well enough in big games to put them over the hump in the playoffs. In the playoffs, you're playing against a really good team who's not making mistakes. And you've got to rise above that and play your best to win. And Andy Dalton hasn't been able to do that. Russell Wilson has, but I still think he's going to have to play better than he has even this season to win against the 49ers. He's going to have to score points. And the Seahawks have not been a scoring machine. They've been a ball hog. They keep control of it. They don't make mistakes, but they don't make a lot of big plays. I mean, that you can think their big plays were made by Marshawn Lynch, or they were unbelievable third down conversions. You don't see those 65-yard touchdowns. You certainly don't see Russell Wilson turning the corner with the ball and scooting past everybody like Colin Kaepernick does. So I think that's the key to this game. I don't know that any team would be good enough at this level, in the championship level, just to play mistake-free and win. I think you not only have to play mistake-free, you got to make plays. And I think, you know, that's where Russell Wilson, the jury is still out.
Going to be a great game. Steve, thank you. Have a safe trip. Thank you for being with us on the show tonight. We really appreciate it.
Murph, anytime. Enjoyed it.
Steve Tasker, the former Bills special teams ace, he's going to be live in Seattle this Sunday morning, part of the Top Show, that other pregame show on the CBS Sports Network, and that precedes 6:30 kickoff for the 49ers and the Seattle Seahawks in the NFC Championship game. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio. Winter is here. The weather is cold. Stop into your nearest NOCO Express and warm up with World Cup Coffee. It's the perfect cup of warmth for your morning commute or your evening ride home. World Cup Coffee provides the quality and taste you'd expect from a high-end coffee shop without the high-end price. They also provide a world of flavors to choose from, like French vanilla, hazelnut, Costa Rican, or 100% Colombian. For a complete list of NOCO Express stores featuring World Cup Coffee, go to noco.com/coffee. World Cup Coffee. Coffee done right.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
It is the podcast, the John Murphy Show podcast for Wednesday, January 15th. Again, our thanks to Steve Tasker for joining us on the podcast tonight. You can catch his act on the CBS Sports Network on your cable system on the early morning show, Tops, they call it, that other pregame show. Steve Tasker will be live in Seattle to cover the 49ers, and Seattle should be a great game. Steve Tasker covered a kickoff in the game 20 years ago today. We talked about this with him. The game against the Los Angeles Raiders, the AFC divisional round playoff game, the Bills and the Raiders. The Bills en route to their fourth consecutive Super Bowl that year, but it was the coldest game in Buffalo Bills history. The temperature, 0 degrees. The wind chill, minus 32. We went into the archives and dug up some of the radio calls. Van Miller sets the stage for the coldest game in Buffalo Bills history.
From frigid Orchard Park, New York, Rich Stadium, 70,000 plus of God's frozen people are on hand in bone-rattling cold to watch the Bills and the Raiders get it on in an AFC divisional playoff game.
Bone-rattling cold, 0 degrees the temperature. The Bills and the Raiders getting it on. Scoreless first quarter. They went to the early second quarter. The Raiders got a 30-yard field goal from Jeff Jaeger to go up 3-0, and then the Raiders kicked it off. Here's what it sounded like.
With the wind at his back, he sails it on the ground, and it's taken by Tasker at the 30, run to the 35, 40, 15, the 10, the 5, knocked out of bounds at the 1-yard line in a spectacular play.
And that led to a 1-yard touchdown run by Kenny Davis. The Bills went up 6-3. Raiders came back, though, with a couple of touchdowns. Napoleon McCallum with a couple of touchdowns. Thurman Thomas scored a touchdown. And at the half, the Raiders were on top 17-13 over the Buffalo Bills. Remember the day vividly, and I'm sure many of you do as well. Very cold temperatures. The game going back and forth. The extra points were an adventure. The game stayed that way until they got to the third quarter. And finally, with the Bills getting the football, a drive start at their own 40-yard line with 5 minutes to play. They cashed in on a Jim Kelly pass from the L.A. 25.
Waiting for the snap. Here's Kelly. Here's the blitz. He's back to throw. Looking. He throws long all along. Brooks for the touchdown. It is Bill Brooks.
25-yard touchdown pass from Kelly to Brooks. The Bills went up 19-17. They get a field goal from Steve Christie to go up 22-17. The Raiders came back, though, to take the lead. Tim Brown, an 86-yard pass from Jeff Hostetler, and the Raiders were up 23-22 at the end of the third quarter. Early in the fourth quarter, actually late in the third quarter, the Bills started a drive at their own 29-yard line, and they took it all the way down to the Raiders' 22.
All right, here we go. Trailing by a point. 12-12 to play. Kelly to pass. Dropping back, looking, he throws to the end zone. Brooks, touchdown! Billy Brooks, touchdown!
Billy Brooks, touchdown catch from Jim Kelly, and that was the go-ahead score. The Bills went on to win it 29-23. Great day for Bill Brooks. 6 catches, 2 of them for touchdowns. Thurman Thomas ran for 44 yards and 1 touchdown. Kenny Davis had 1 touchdown. Kelly, 27 of 37, 287 yards, 2 touchdown passes. The Bills won that game, most memorable because of the temperature, 0 degrees, minus 32, the wind chill, 20 years ago today. We had a lot of fun reliving that. Well, tomorrow night we are going to be back on the radio live starting at 7 o'clock, 7 to 9 p.m. We've got live radio the next 2 nights. Hope you can join us on our flagship in Buffalo, WGR Sports Radio 550. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Thanks to our presenting sponsor, NOCO. Family-owned, locally operated since 1933. Explore what NOCO can do for you at NOCO.com. Our producer is the Bills Director of Broadcasting, Jeff Matthews, on the air tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, with the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO, live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.